This message I'm going to talk to you today is something God gave me last weekend during the 24-hour prayer. I thought I had something else. I put that in on the shelf. I said, okay, that needs to be cooked a little more. But he gave me this from John. I want the, you can put John chapter 8 on the screen. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible, the book of books. It is inspired by God to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to equip us to righteousness. And right now, Lord, we submit. I submit my life under the authority of your word. And I submit these, your sons and your daughters, under the authority of your words, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, you take what I have to bring, what you have to bring, what I have prepared. You just take it, Lord. Use it. And train us. Make us ready for your return. Make us ready to be salt and light in this world, Father. We honor your name, God. So I give you this moment right now. Let your name be honored in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. John chapter 8, verse 31. If it's not on the screen, I invite you to open your Bibles. Or this is when you can have your phones. Okay? It's okay now. If it's on, do not disturb. I agree. I support that. But I strongly encourage you, have a Bible. I understand it can be on your phone, on your iPad, but have a physical Bible. Have a personal Bible where you take notes. Have a notebook where you write down what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Okay? So, buy a Bible if you don't have one. Or if it's lost at home, go dig it up. And develop this intimate relationship with the Bible. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus and Abraham. The title of my message would be, Jesus make a distinction between true sons of God and false sons of God. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful in my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we are descendants of Abraham, they said. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean? You will set us free. You will set free. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So, if the son sets you free, you are truly free. He who the son sets free is free indeed. Yes, I realize you are descendant of Abraham. And yet some of you are trying to kill me. Because there are no room in your hearts for my message. I tell you what I saw when I was with my father. But now you are following the advice of your father. Our father is Abraham, they declared. I just love this conversation with Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus said, no. For if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth.
Thank you so much. Would you put your hands together for Dan, please, for me?
Yeah. Maybe a little more. Thank you, Dan. I've told Dan, you know, I love him and I'm thankful for him in private, but I can never say it enough in public, you know, because those are the people in the background. Yeah, people see the pastors or the leaders, but they don't see people in the background that are supporting us to make us sound good. So Dan, you are blessed, brother. Okay, yeah. I embarrass him. He doesn't like that stuff, but I'm the kind of guy that's like, yeah. But then you start talking about it, it's like, oh, yeah. We love you, man.
Verse 40 says, instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth. Now, if you would follow in, I mean, we're going to go back. If you would follow in this passage, I would encourage you to underline how many times the word truth shows up. It says, if you would, instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. Now you are imitating your real father. They replied, we aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our father. I could see their attitude. The Pharisees is like, man, what is he talking about? He's really crazy. Verse 42, Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me because I have come from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me, for you are the children of your father. And now Jesus went full out, the devil. He's calling them the sons of Satan. And you love to do the devil's thing. He does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated, once again, truth. Because there is, once again, no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Verse 45. So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truly accuse me of sin? And since I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Oh man, I tell you, underline this in your Bible. Verse 47. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. The people retorted, man, you're Samaritan, dear devil. Now remember, at that time, the word Samaritan was almost like a curse word, because you remember there was this strife between the Jews and the Samaritans. So, I mean, son of a gun, whatever. He's like, man, you Samaritan devil. Let's not use that on anybody, okay? Didn't we all along that you were possessed? Didn't we say all along that you were possessed by a demon? Remember? They called Jesus the king of the Beelzebul. He's the king of flies. The king of dirty, a dirty spirit, the king of dirty, of demons. Verse 49, once again, Jesus said, no. I have no demons in me. For I honor my father and you dishonor me. And I thought I have no wish to glorify. And though I have no wish to glorify myself, God is going to glorify me. He is the judge, the true judge. I tell you the truth. Anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. The people said, now, we know you are possessed by a demon. Even Abraham and the prophets died. But you said, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die? Are you greater than Abraham? Are you greater than the prophets? I can see that conversation. Jesus answered, if I want to glorify myself, it doesn't count. But if my Father, who will glorify me, you say, he is our God, but you don't even know him. I know him. And if I say otherwise, I would be as great a liar as you. But I do know him and obey him. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. Verse 57. The people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you have seen Abraham? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. And when you study this, it's the same word, it's the same Greek word they use when Abraham asked God, so you're sending me to those people. When they ask me who sent me, What must I say? God said, I am. Okay? God, the Trinity, Father, Spirit, and the Son are the same. And at that point, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. There's so much here. There is so much here. Here, Jesus is having this great conversation with the Pharisees. Now, these guys, they begin to follow Christ. But Jesus, every day with Jesus must get deeper. You see, when you're growing in your walk with the Lord, being in the Word, every day with Jesus is not only going to get sweeter, but it's going to get better. It's just like doing marriage the right way. You know, when you're married and you're doing marriage the right way, you have issues. But when you're applying the principle that mixed relationship works, marriage should get better with age. Oh, yeah. I mean, people, you know, it doesn't work. Sometimes people get selfish. When you have two selfish or one selfish person or one person that turns their heart or wants to break the covenant, I get that. But when you have two people 100% committed to one another, 100% in love with Jesus, what we learn, it is completely impossible to love people if you're not in love with Jesus. Oh, yeah. That's why, I mean, for those of you who are not married here, when you look for somebody to be married to, you want to make sure they're in love with Jesus. First priority. Because if they're loving Jesus, guess what? You're mad. You'll get mad at each other. But Jesus will always bring your heart back to each other. Close that window. I'm not preaching on marriage. If you are truly my disciple, you are truly my disciple if you remain faithful in my teaching. So there's a condition. There's a condition right there to remain or to be truly a son or a disciple of Christ. Number one, you must remain faithful. We must remain faithful in the teaching of Jesus. Jesus made a distinct distinction between the true disciples and the not true disciples. So then I come up with this question. Man, in the church, there are people who are true and non-true disciples. So my question to you today, are you a true disciple? You don't have to raise your hands. But I want you to think about this. I ask myself this. Am I a true disciple of Jesus? Or am I just... I tell our class in our ministry school, I said, you don't become ministry. I mean, yeah, it's a vocation. But it's a call. Because if I'm going to ministry for a job, for the money, wrong motives. But if God calls me in ministry, I tell you, I will do it whether I'm paid or not. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Paul was a tent maker. God called him. Oh, yeah. That's the difference. Close that window. I'm trying not to. I mean, there's so much here. I could do like the bazooka preaching, go everywhere. But I'm trying to remain focused right here. The distinction between the illegitimate children and true children of God. The religious leaders at that time were descended of Abraham. Yes, God used them to found the Jewish nation. They were part of the Jewish nation. But therefore, they claim to be God's children. But their actions show that they weren't following God. Now, can you believe it, guys? These guys, they were waiting for the Messiah. The Messiah was in their midst. They missed it. My prayer for us as a congregation is that we would not miss the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us not miss. That's what I'm telling you. If God, wherever God is, make sure you're there. And I know God is here. Yeah, God is in our midst. I know God is in many other churches. But in the same way, I know there are places God is not. There are churches God is not in it. God is not honored. What it says. It says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, who is guiding you? Who is guiding your thoughts? By whose standards are you living by? Culture? I mean, I grew up in different culture, right? I had to learn the American culture. There's a lot of things that were different from Haitian culture. American culture, Haitian culture. I mean, I tell you, sometimes they clash. And then I married Kendra. She grew up in American culture, kind of grew up in Haiti as well. And then I've got my Haitian mind, you know, culture. The culture makes you who you are. But thank God for kingdom culture. Thank God for kingdom culture. I tell you guys, you have your American citizenship must be second. Amen. Your primary citizenship is you being a kingdom citizenship. Amen. True children of Abraham. Now listen to this. Living in the truth, I told you, you can go back home tonight, this evening, or the rest of the week. Count how many times Jesus mentioned truth. You either walking in the truth, you either fighting the truth, or you either disobeying the truth, or you either obeying the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, this verse we just read, if you abide, remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. We live in such generation right now where everybody is searching for the truth. The truth is nowhere else but in Jesus. You see, some people don't want to believe that. Some people think, I have a truth, you have the truth, this is my truth. But now think about it. My truth is subjective. Because right now, my truth is, it's cold outside. Now somebody could walk out there, man, look how warm it is. But I tell you, the weathermen, we all can pull up the, what they call, the weather channel, whatever. It's going to tell you it's cold. It is cold. My truth right now, I'm 46 years old, married, 3 children. My truth about that next year, I won't be 47 or 46 anymore. I'll be 47. My truth right now, I'm almost bald. And I hope that truth remains. But I doubt it. I know, Bernie, I know. Join the club. Felix, I'm joining the club. You know? I'm joining the club. As we live in the truth, which is God's word, we will come to intimately know truth. That's why I said, read the Bible. We develop that intimate relationship with the Bible. The word of God is the truth. How would you be able to differ a false prophet from a true prophet? By knowing the right prophet, the true prophet. How do I know the true prophet? By reading the word. By knowing God's word. The more we dwell in the truth, in the word, we will know. It grieved my heart over this, that the Pharisees, they even crucified Christ. They said, kill him. And at the same time, they thought they were doing God a favor. Saul. Man, guys, I pray the Lord will give you grace. I pray when I read this, I say, God, please give me grace. Because this is what I've learned. This is what I've learned. I'm going to share 3 things that I've learned here. There is so much, but I just picked 3. I think they are the most, tangible to me here. The first thing I saw, stubbornness. The second thing I saw, pride. The third I'm seeing here, is prejudice. Stubbornness. Man, some of us, we're stubborn. You cannot follow Jesus in your stubbornness. Stubbornness will prevent you from yielding Have you ever been in a relationship or maybe in your marriage or whatever friendship you had, you did something, you were wrong, and you knew you were wrong? Okay, guys? The saying says, it takes a strong man or woman to admit they're wrong. But society makes us think, well, to admit I was wrong, I'm sorry, you're weak. No. It's the opposite way. A strong person, strong-minded person would acknowledge when they're wrong and take responsibility and learn from it. That's how you go from glory to glory, right? But have you ever been into this situation where you know you were wrong and you took, but because you're of your pride, ego, you said, no, I can't, you know, you're having this conversation in your mind. I can't admit I was wrong. I mean, I have been in a situation before the Lord really set me free. You did this, you know you were wrong. Recently, I had this job, okay? It's a good story. I had this job I was doing. I was replacing a toilet. And then I'm putting the toilet down. I'm setting the toilet, okay, guys? I can't figure out how the porcelain in the back of the toilet cracked. It's just like a hair crack. You know, it's just me, I'm thinking, nobody will see it. Back of the toilet, I glued it. Nobody will never see it. It's way in the back. I learned my lesson. Set the toilet, it works, beautiful. So I went home, did my thing. Customer sent me a picture. It's like, oh yeah, what happened to the toilet? I said, Ricardo. I said, yep. I said, yeah, this is what happened, and I should not have assumed. I said, you know what? I'll take care of it. Went and bought an upgrade toilet. I went the next step up. You take responsibility. You know, it hurts. It was just like, man. They say a spiritual person already foreseen the result. So when you find yourself in situation, you make things right. You know better. I mean, it's not like I steal or sin or anything like that, but it's just like, man. And then the funniest thing was, at the end of the job, went back and all good, and then she was mad. She told me. I said, yeah. I had no ego because I was wrong. But it was amazing to see how I let her get mad, admitted I was wrong, and told her, hey, I didn't even talk about the new upgrade toilet I installed. I let her get mad. I said, yep, you're right. I was totally wrong. It was amazing to see how her face just changed because I just humbled myself and admitted I did wrong. And it was just like she became so cold and she had nothing else to say. Our ego, our pride keeps us away sometimes from experiencing the grace of God. You gotta let go of your pride. Let go of your ego. Even relationships, our pride keeps us from restoring relationship. Why? Because you wanna be right. I didn't do it. I didn't say it. There's no way I'm going to accept that I said it. Well, yeah, you don't have to accept it. But at least acknowledging where they're at. Because in the relationship, you are stronger. You see, the Pharisees had a major issue. And something for us to remember here, your church membership or family connection will not make you a true child of God. That's why it doesn't count. I mean, if you grew up in church, that doesn't automatically make you a son of God. I used to think that. Are you a Christian? Yes. I grew up in the church. You heard that? I grew up in the church. Well, because you grew up in the church, that doesn't make you a child of God. Have you confessed Jesus as your Lord? Have you yielded your life. Humble your heart to Jesus. Stubbornness, or someone who is fully determined not to change. How many times the Lord spoke to you, you heard it, and you don't respond? You see, the more you resist the word, the more you the less you have a chance to repent. The more comfortable you get in your stubbornness. Don't let that happen to you. That's why I'm telling you, submit your heart to the word of God. When the Lord's speaking to you, accept it. I yield my life to the word. Every aspect of my life. Every relationship. I have a kingdom perspective on everything I say, everything I do. Why? Because I want to remain a son of God. I want to live a blessed life. And I want the same thing for you. Everything you do. And I know some of us are naturally stubborn. If you're stubborn today, would you let go? I used to be stubborn. Forgiveness was the worst. I mean, I could never forgive. Everybody in my family, they all hated each other. My cousins, none of them spoke to each other. It's like the whole family is divided. And then God starts setting me free. I said, well, their problem between themselves is their problem among themselves. Guess what? Me, I'm going to have a relationship with all of them. When I go to the community, I go to New Jersey, I stop and see all of them. I text them. I said, I'm in the community. Are you home? No, I'm not. When are you going to be home? Stop. Hey, how you doing? I don't talk about myself. Hey, so what have you been up to? Oh, you know, you listen to me. Oh, good to see you. Hug. Bye-bye. You show that you're interested in them. That's the way God wants you to live. Because of the Pharisees' stubbornness, they miss the Messiah. I don't want us as a community to miss God's work because we're so stubborn in our ways. We're so stubborn in our ways. Don't be like that. Give a chance to the Holy Spirit. You see, the problem we have with our generation right now, people don't like the truth. I said this here earlier, a couple months, maybe last year, I don't remember where I read it, but it says, truth sounds like hate to whoever don't want to hear it. You know, it's like some people argue with the truth, but they don't want to hear it. They actually hear hate. As a matter of fact, Thomas Paine said, he who dares not offend cannot be honest. He who dares not offend cannot be honest. And in these verses we just read, it says, Jesus told the Pharisees, man, Satan is your father. Why? Because Satan lies. There's no truth in him. The Bible calls us to speak the truth in love. A true friend in your life will tell you the truth. The hard truth. But if I don't care about you, guess what? Well, who cares? See you later. But if I love you, and I expect the same thing. If you love me, I expect, if you see me going the wrong way, you should come to me. It's like, well, you know, Pastor, you know, can I tell you something? Man, this is what I sense. This is what I see. You should be able to do that. Your friend, your best friend, your pastor, your brother, your sister, they should be able to tell you. None of us are in heaven yet. Mm-mm. You know, and if we as leaders are not careful, we'll pack the bus and send you to heaven and we will remain. Because our judgment is harder. If I'm not careful, man, you all could probably have a better chance making it and I don't make it. Well, guess what? That's not going to happen. I will make it. I say, let's go together. I'm going to be the driver, all right? Hop on. Let's go. Pump, pump. You know? Let us not be this generation who hates truth. But let us accept the truth. The Pharisees, they couldn't believe it. They could accept it. But thank God for some of them who accepted it. The religious leaders, they were unable to understand because they refused to listen. You see, the word listen here has more to do with just listen. It means take to heart, obey. You see, the way I grew up, I grew in my relationship with the Lord. I listen, I obey. I listen, ask my wife, ask my children. I listen and I obey. I'm never right in my own way. It's the worst thing, you know, when you think you're so right in your way, and then your friends, your favorite person come in and tell you, he's like, no, that's wrong. No. There was a situation we were going through, and I said some things, and my wife said, are you sure you want to say that? I said, yes. Yes, I want to. This is what I said. And when she said, are you sure? Again, are you sure you want to say that? It was just like the voice of the Holy Spirit telling me, you know you're wrong. You know you are wrong. And are you really sure you want to say that? I'm like, yes. Yes. I'm going to stand by. But I knew I was wrong. And then later on, I went in my heart and I'm like, you know what, Lord, I can't be proud. I humble myself. It hurts. This is what I want. I want revenge. Have you been in a position where you want revenge? You want them to pay. But you're like, Holy Spirit's like, are you sure? Because unless you submit your stubbornness to God, you'll miss him. I don't want that for you. I don't want you to miss God in your life. I don't want you to miss the work of God in your life. I don't want you to miss the work of God in our church. No. That's why I'm challenging you. That's why sometimes I might even be in your face. The worst you can say is get out of my face. Then I'll get out of your face. But I'll still tell you the truth in love. Why? Because I love you. Those three things prevented the Pharisees to see the Messiah. Their stubbornness, their pride, oh my goodness, their ego. We live in a generation, everybody wants to be so proud. Everybody wants to celebrate this pride. It's me, it's my ego, it's about me, who cares? But listen to what the word says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. It says, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. God is not out to hurt your pride. He's out to kill it. Why? Because you cannot see him with your pride. Preparing this, I said, Lord, kill my pride. If there's any more pride in me, kill it. Kill it, Lord. Kill it. Kill it. Now, you need to understand, when you grow in intimacy with the Holy Spirit, you know who you are in him. There's no condemnation. You don't have to compare yourself with anybody. You were made awesome, created awesome, unique. There's only one you in the world. You don't have to try to be anybody else. That's the best thing about knowing Christ. You receive your identity in him. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be a proudful person. You can yield to him. James chapter 4 verse 6, it says, but he gives more grace. Anybody here wants more grace? I want more grace. So therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God's grace will extend to those who are humble before him. So, I'm going to live a humble life. You may take all this world. Give me humble. Give me Jesus. Give me humility. I don't want to make a name for myself. I'm not telling you to go out there and be a loser. Okay? You need to have a good life. Be somebody in this world. Be affect your world. But don't buy into this pride thing. You know? Proverbs chapter 3 verse 34, God opposes and resists the proud. Now listen to what it says in Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 23. It says, these are the word of the Lord to the people of Israel. It says, this is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power. or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord who demonstrate unfailing love. That's what we sing earlier. I said, man, it's all by grace. Oh, man, it's all by grace. It's all by the grace of God. It's only by your grace. If I want to boast, let anyone who boasts boast in the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken. A time is coming, says the Lord, when I will punish those who are circumcised in body, but not spirit. And the time is here. Judgment is in the house of the Lord. And it goes on, it says, the Egyptians, Edomites, Ammonites, Moabites, the people who live in the desert and remote places, and yes, even the people in Judea. Now you need to understand, in the context of Jeremiah, God was bringing judgment into his people, to his people. He said, man, you guys are pointing fingers. I'm going to judge people in the world. But judgment begins at home. God is a just God. And all these pagan nations, the people of Israel also have uncircumcised hearts. Oh, I pray this morning that you allow the Holy Spirit to circumcise your heart. I won't have time to get into it, but I encourage you to read it. Romans chapter 2, verse 17 to 26. It talks about true circumcision, meaning a true Christian, a true sons of God. When the trumpet sound, I'm going, and I want you to go. Make sure you're living as a true son of God. I believe this is the word wanted you to hear. Mark chapter 7, verse 23. And it says, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of our heart, out of the heart of a man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things comes from within. They defile a person. What comes out of a person, that's what Jesus said. What comes out of a person really show you what the person is. You don't go pick apples on thorn bushes. This is a time to draw a line. And the third one, I'm going to finish with this. You remember, three things, right? Their stubbornness, their pride, and their prejudice. You see, now the prejudice is what you call preconceived idea somebody have against someone. A couple weeks ago, I told you from Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, it talks about lukewarm Christians. And I said, a lukewarm Christian is a bad advertisement for a good God. So a Christian who is just riding the line, they don't want to make any clear decision to be radical for Jesus. Those are the people, when their neighbors looked at them, they said, well, what's the difference? They go to church, I don't. They smoke, I smoke. They curse, I curse. They divorce each other, we do the same thing. What's the difference? So when they look at your life, they're like, well, they backstab, we backstab. They're always talking about, you know those Christians? Well, every time they come together, they're always talking about people in the church. It says, their prejudice, the Pharisees' prejudice on Christ, on Jesus, prevent them to open their eyes. Let me tell you this. Jesus is in heaven. He dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. So every day, your interaction with people at Walmart, Target, work, street, driving your car, every day, the way you interact with people, you having an opportunity to represent Jesus, to let people see Jesus. I wonder what they're seeing. I understand. We need our coffee. See, I put myself in it too, because sometimes I need my coffee. I realize, man, Sunday morning, sometimes I need my coffee. But can people experience the kindness of God even before I have my coffee? Guys, this is reality. Or
Does the way I conduct myself create prejudice or give people a preconceived idea Jesus is a joke? Oh, it's just a religion. Just a religion thing. Paul says, I'm not afraid of the gospel because it is the power of God that saves. Is the power of the Holy Spirit manifest in your life every day? The fullness of joy? Yes. When you go through bad days, bad time, bad season, the desert, like, you know, the Bourne's families, and Joe Mel's going through, some of us, some people in our midst are going through it. When they go through the valley of, what is it? Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. So what does it mean to be a true children of God? It means to adopt the attitudes of God. To be like Christ. Philippians chapter 2, it says, be imitators of God. Do like God. So watch those three things in your life. What are they? Stubbornness, pride. So I'm going to give you guys, let's take 5 minutes to answer to the Lord's word this morning. I believe when the Lord speaks to us, what he brings is worth an answer. Are you struggling with being stubborn? I'll invite you to come to the altar. Is your pride sometimes prevent you, even like I was talking last week, prevent you from expressing your worship? You know, sometimes you're in the presence of God and, you know, you feel like, you know, lift up your hands, but you're like, no, I don't want people to, that I'm uncomfortable. Are you willing to yield to the Holy Spirit enough where you could see, you could say, it's not me that lives anymore, but it's the Lord that lives in me? So I'm going to invite you to answer to the Lord this morning. Come to the altar and make things right.